from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Hey, two in the books, one to go. Final hour of the show. Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Barry, Nick, and Joel in the studio on an F, yeah, Friday. As we continue to roll on, F for football, F for food. We've covered all of those bases already today. If you missed any portions of the show, you have to go back and check the podcast. We've been having a lot of fun, a lot of food and beverage, a lot of Texans to talk about in the final hour of the show as we get you ready for the Chiefs hosting the Texans on Sunday afternoon, approximately 2 o'clock, as that's a big one. And, of course, our comedian of the week for F for Funny, Shane Moss. We've had two clips already. One clip coming up at 3:15. Barry's giving you the backstory on him. Funny dude. Wisconsin guy. You got to love him. And so he was just working with Barry last night.
You'd like that. Very well. A lot of stuff coming out. A lot of news about this game coming out. They're predicting snow. 6 inches of snow tomorrow in KC. Mm-hmm. So they said they're going to leave the field covered because that's going to be the big issue. It's not going to snow on Sunday. But they're saying that it's going to be cold. But then they're worried about field conditions, so that obviously could be an issue for both of these quarterbacks.
Sure.
And, you know,
because they said game day it's going to be 40, I believe.
Okay.
That was the early prognosis. I don't know if the weather report's changed since then.
Yeah, I'm not sure, but they're going to keep the – and then Nick was saying that on Twitter just dropped that Kelsey is – would you say he is questionable?
He was limited in practice because of a knee injury, and now his status is questionable for the Texans game.
Well that's good news for the Texans if he don't play, but
it's also
a
factor, though, Barry, what you said. Because if the field conditions are slippery and he's got a knee issue, that's going to be something that's going to weigh into if they play him or not. And if he does, he could injure it more severely if he plays on it.
True.
So it'll be interesting to keep an eye on that.
Other news, Sarah Barshop reporting on the on ESPN.com. Bill O'Brien said, once again, Will Fuller is a game time decision. Duh. Limited in practice, groin. I mean, it's a broken record. But quoting O'Brien said, quote, so far, so good.
Yeah, he's already said.
That means he'll last one quarter.
He and Jonathan Joseph are trending upward, whatever that means. Boy, I'll tell you what, man. You know what? Every week, Will Fuller's a game-time decision. He's got a groin. I got a pain in my ass for every time I hear that he's on the injured report.
It's pretty bad.
Jeez.
It's probably gotten to the point where they know they can only get so much out of him. So they're like, okay, maybe we can use him for one last game against a really good team in the Chiefs that probably most people feel like we're going to lose, you know?
I think that's why we talked about the other day, the fact that they have to consider pulling the plug on him in the offseason because you can't rely on him. And then someone tweeted me and said, way to go, dumbass. He already signed a contract. You don't know how contracts work in football. The very select few get guarantees, but you can cut bait with most guys at any time and cost you nothing. Contract goes away, and so does player.
Yeah.
So please be aware of that. And trades happen too, dumbass.
I was looking at this article on, you know, should you fade the Chiefs betting-wise and stuff like that, and you know, of course, I did my little spreadsheet. And last week, I had all of the favorites winning, but against the spread, I took all the dogs. And it turned out that way again this week, where I'm taking all the dogs, but I think all of the favorites win just based on what I think point output would be, right?
Mm-hmm.
But check this out. In this article that they were talking about, do you fade the Chiefs? Does this surprise you? Kansas City is 3-8 all-time at home in the postseason.
Really?
And 1-10 against the spread, and it has been favored in all but one of those games. However, the only cover came in last year's divisional round against Indy.
I know the only blowout came on the road at Houston a few years ago.
Right.
Yeah, you know what? And that's the big, I believe it's still the largest spread margin of the four games this weekend.
Yeah.
From Texans-Chiefs. It's hovering between 9 and 10.
Right. It was up to 9.5. They have it at 10 now on ESPN. The matchup predictor, 81.5% chance that KC wins this game.
God,
you agree with that?
I don't.
Do you think the Texans don't have a 20% chance of winning the game?
I think the Texans have at least a 20% chance of winning the game because they have Deshaun Watson, if nothing else. And I think he gives you a chance.
But wouldn't the argument be that the Chiefs have Patrick Mahomes?
Sure, that's fine.
But you kind of neutralize that?
Yeah.
That's,
I think running games are going to be hyper important for both teams. Because if you can establish the run and you're the Texans, that means that you can take a little of the heat off of Deshaun. That means you've got more balance. That means you've got the defense on their heels. That means you got a shot. But I think that 80% is a little too high for me.
Okay.
And I think I believe it's going to be. I believe at the end of the day, and we'll do our predictions. But I believe it's going to be a closer game than 10 points. I really do.
You
don't?
Well, I have it. 26-21.
Sure. So that's less than 10 points. Yeah. I would agree with you.
Yeah.
That I think the Texans are going to be in the ball game.
Yeah.
And I think they're going to have a shot. So that's why I think it's going to be less than 10.
It's not going to surprise me if the Texans win this football game. I mean, it probably should because it's the Texans, it's Bill O'Brien, it's the divisional round, it's on the road. But we said it before, I'll say it again, when the Texans play the kind of football that they're capable of, they can beat anybody in the NFL.
Absolutely.
It's just you don't know what Texas team shows up. They're a Jekyll and Hyde team. You look at the pattern of wins and losses. You look at the getting blown out by Denver and beating, you know, the Patriots and the Chiefs this year. They've got some good wins. You just don't know what you're going to get from week to week. They looked bad last week, but they somehow miraculously came back from being down 16 and won a game, and that's so un-Texans-like. That's so un-Bill O'Brien Texans-like. So you just don't know from week to week, and that's what makes it hard to predict. Like, you kind of know what the Ravens are. You know what the Titans are. So you can look at that game and go, yeah, this is what I expect to happen. But I really believe of all the teams that are in the playoffs with the Ravens, Titans, Packers, Seahawks, Chiefs, Texans, Niners, and Vikings, the one team that you don't know how they're going to play, they could either win or lose, is the Texans. You know what the Vikings are.
You know what the Niners are. You got one good Kirk Cousins, but do you really know
but you what know the... what the... I don't think the Vikings are beating the Niners. They're a good football team. They've looked great, but the Niners are vastly superior. But if the Texans show up, they can beat the Chiefs.
I agree, and they've proven that they can beat them. Obviously, it was a different Chiefs team, but at the same time, I don't disagree with you, and I think that when you look at the numbers further, and you look at how, when we talk about Will Fuller, and everybody's like, yeah, you know, he's never hurt, he's never healthy, you know, all things being considered, that's true. But when you look at how good they are when he plays, and obviously he doesn't peter out in the first quarter, when he plays, they're like, I saw the stat like last night or this morning, they're like 13-4 when he plays three or more quarters of a game, and he's in the lineup. That, yeah, I don't know if it was in the last 20 or last two seasons or whatever it is, however they did the matrix, but it's like, you know that when he could take the top off the defense and stretch the field,
yep,
they're a totally different ball club.
It is completely
look
different.
At Deshaun's numbers last week alone. It wasn't incompletions. He was really on his game. He just got sacked 7 times.
Yeah.
If you could get away, and Will Fuller does that, because you have to respect him, therefore you have to respect the long ball, therefore you have the safeties have to respect him. It's a totally different defensive game to play against a team that has to do that, as opposed to a team that That's knows right. you ain't get beating us deep.
Yeah, it changes what you do with your safeties, sure. which changes the style of defense that you play. It changes what you do with a slot. It changes everything when you have a Will Fuller on the field versus just DeAndre and Stiller. And speaking of that, so here's the injury update for the Texans. J.J. Watt, questionable. Jordan Akins, questionable. Kenny Stills, questionable. That worries me a little bit, but he should be fine. Jonathan Joseph, questionable. And I know you'd rather him be doubtful or out. And then Will Fuller, questionable. And then for the Chiefs, Maurice Claiborne, Chris Jones, and Travis Kelce, all questionable for the game. So there's the injuries. Some of those names are pretty important for the Texans.
Sure
you better
they are.
Hope. I mean, obviously, J.J. Watt is important, but Jordan Akins is a big part of this offense, too.
Got to have the tight end because, again, when you look at – and I don't have the matrix in front of me for this, but I just know that when Deshaun utilizes the tight ends and he's normally successful when he does, Texans are a more prolific offense. They have a better chance of winning. They got to use every resource. They got to pull everything out of that. And, again, the turnovers are going to be key because we know in big games what they normally do right off the jump in the first two possessions is they're going to give it away or do something stupid. And the last thing we know was they did that recently, including the Kansas City game, but they were able to rebound and win. Playoffs, everything is magnified. You can't afford to have dumb turnovers, especially early, and dig yourself a hole. That's going to be key. Obviously, the weather is going to be key for a team that isn't used to playing in cold weather against a team like Kansas City. But I really believe the running game is going to be key.
Yep.
And again, if the Texans can establish the running game,
listen,
it's big.
If Carlos Hyde can get another 150 yards or so, That's huge advantage Texans keeping that Chiefs offense off the field.
No doubt about it.
But you also are going to deal with a healthier Tyreek Hill. I mean,
big thing. Who's taking Tyreek Hill all over the field?
Well, who's taking Travis Kelce? I mean,
Roby?
I like Cunningham. Yeah, I think it's got to be Roby. It's got to be, right? But I like what Cunningham, how he's played this year. I thought he was a big key last week in the game. But I don't even think he can hang with Travis Kelce. It's going to be interesting. This is also why you went out and got what's his name in the back end at safety to help cover guys like Travis Kelce? So
you're talking about Reed or who? Well, you got Reed in the back.
What's his name? I don't know why
And Garyon Conley, Hargraves.
No safety.
No.
Well, I'll
all right, hang on. We'll think of it. Here, before we get to that, Lawrence wants to get in here on Fuller. Lawrence, what's up?
Hey, how y'all doing today?
What's up,
man? What's up? Oh, you know what I was scared about? If we get rid of Will Fuller, because, you know, I know y'all think that we should trade him. I feel like he'll get healthy and then somehow come back and kill us.
That's always a possibility, like Lawrence. But, I mean, here's the thing. You got Kenny Stills. So, previous to the trade with Miami, Will Fuller was going to be around and he was going to continue to be around because you just didn't have anybody else that could provide what he provides when healthy. Kenny Stills has proven, whether he's in the slot or on the outside, he can give you another viable threat that they don't lose a whole lot when Kenny Stills is in the game. And they're even better when all three are on the field. But if you can only get two of the three and Fuller's hurt, at least you do have a Kenny Stills.
That's the thing. You have Stills. You still have Darren Fells, who's a big part of this offense, along with Akins and the tight end position in general. But, yeah, having Will Fuller, having that third option is really what makes the Texans' offense go from good to dangerous. Mm-hmm. Because now you do have to – because Kenny Stills can also stretch the defense. Now you can run a couple of nine routes and still bring DeAndre Hopkins over the middle if you want to. It really opens it up. Plus, it gives you opportunities to run more motion and do more things. So – It is a huge difference with, and Kenny Stills matters. He's very important to this offense, and he's
no
proven
doubt about
himself.
It.
But I think Will Fuller is that guy that makes it that much more dangerous. It's there's no doubt.
And don't sleep on special teams, because special teams are going to be Mecole Hardman's going to make sure that the Chiefs have good special teams. Texas got to be aware of that, and Texas got to get something out of their special teams as well. Yep. All right, we'll continue to roll on. We'll talk some more Texans. We'll talk about the other three games that we have to talk about, and we'll talk to you, 713-780-3776, HR&P Listener Line. Lawrence just called. You can, too. Text that number as well, or you can reach out via Twitter. Before we go to the break, I do want to tell you again about the good people at Fitz Roofing. They've been sponsoring this show. They've been sponsoring me, and they've been a part of Houston for a long, long time, and they love to be the only company that you go to when you have any of your roofing needs. They are Fitz Roofing. They are Houston owned and operated, and they are absolutely and positively focused on making a difference one home at a time. They do that by making sure that they get into everything that you need to do. They do a free, no obligation inspection just by picking up the phone. You call 832-521-3001. You call them, tell them where you live, and tell them what you think needs to be done. They come out, they see what they can do, they tell you what they can do, and then they see if you want to call them back. They'll be back in a jiff, and they'll take care of everything. They have the best ratings in the business. They have an A-plus rating on the Better Business Bureau, 5-star ratings on Facebook and Home Advisor, and they use the top product on the market, CertainTeed Shingles. They are a CertainTeed Select Shingle Master company, in fact, and only 1% of the roofers in the entire United States meet the criteria to get that status. They got it. You need it. You go to Fitz. More importantly than that, their base warranties longer and better than your average roofer. No storm chasers, no deposit thieves, no worrying about sketchy roofers. They take care of it all from start to finish, and they all do it with you in mind. So check them out, FITZroofing.com, or call them 832-521-3001. Fitz Roofing, making a difference one home at a time.
ESPN 97.5.
We'll be right back after this break.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Kind of reminds me of the gay debates. Everyone's all worried. So, oh, the gays are coming. Oh, no, the gays. The root of all that, if we're honest with ourselves, is that a bunch of straight guys have a problem with gay men. And why? Because they don't have sex with women? That's more women for the rest of us. That's amazing news. I wish I were the only straight man on Earth. Do you have any idea how amazing my life would be? There would be women flying from around the globe. Do you understand? There would be a line outside my house miles long. Every day it would be a Miss Universe pageant on my penis. As hard as it is to get a woman you like, you're worried about what gay men are doing? If anything, straight guys, you should be upset at lesbians. They're taking perfectly good vaginas right off the market. That's some bull.
Dude, Shane Moss was in town working with Barry last night. Barry gave you his backstory earlier in the show. If you missed any of the clips, 115, 215, 315, go to ESPN975.com. Click on the show tab for the suspects at the top of the page, and you can catch up on all that you missed. Barry, he's a funny dude.
Yeah, man. Very funny guy. Lots of stuff that he's done. You know, I told you about the Conan 5 times and Timmy Kimmel and all that. So, yep, funny dude doing a tour. Check out his podcast. I forget the name of it, but if you just go to – we tweeted it out, right, his Twitter handle. So you can check it out.
Yes, we did.
Yep.
So I did a little recon for you in terms of other games.
Okay.
The temperature
– oh.
On the frozen tundra of Lambeau Field.
Of course you would know this.
8 degrees today. They're expecting between 3 to 12 inches of snow on Sunday.
Mm-mm.
Temperatures in the single digits. Advantage.
No, thank you.
Packers.
Yeah.
That's what I wanted. That's what I wanted.
But Seattle's an outdoor team.
Well, rainy team. Russell Wilson. Russell Wilson's record.
He played in Wisconsin, not too far from Lambeau.
He played for the Badgers during the college football season and didn't sniff it.
Well, now I'm on I'm on ESPN's like scoreboard page where they show you all four games, and it says I don't know if this is the weather now or if this is what they're predicting, but it says 24 degrees.
That might be today. It was 8 this morning. It was 8 all day yesterday, and the forecast that I talked when I talked to people back home for this weekend is snow anywhere from.
Let's go see what weather.com says.
A few inches to a foot of snow, and then temperatures dropping.
Green
Russell Bay. Wilson, by the way, Nick, in games 32 degrees and under, 1-4, I believe.
Oh, really?
So he's not very good in the cold
weather. Not as good in the snow as he is in the rain, let's put it that way. Aaron Rodgers, obviously, he's like 62-13, but that's because they plan it all the time.
The forecasted high on Sunday is 23.
So then that's changed.
It's 23 is the high, 22 is the low. What a stupid weather pattern.
They said the temperatures would be falling. What about the snow?
10% chance of precipitation.
Well,
no snow on Sunday.
We'll see. I talked to the residents and the people that told me maybe it's coming Saturday night.
Weather.com.
See what the forecast is for Saturday.
The network was saying it too. They were going to be
23 degrees is the high, 16 is the low, 20% precipitation, cloudy and windy on Saturday. This is according to weather.com.
You believe what you got. I'm just trying to give the people the inside. Thank you, Nick. You also said you heard it elsewhere?
On ESPN, they were talking like it was going to be 9 degrees. That's what that was the whole debate. Who's going to play better?
I know that they've already gotten snow because they pay $12 an hour.
Huh?
The good people of Green Bay make $12 an hour, and they literally put out like an alert, Lambeau needs shovelers, and then people show up with their shovels, and they get $12 an hour to shovel out the inside seats of the stadium. Because I've told you guys this before. It's not seats.
Yeah, it's bleachers.
It's bench bleacher seating.
Poor.
It's a great stadium, man. But I said all along, because that's why I like the Packers having the 2 seed, to make anybody other than the Niners have to go through Lambeau.
That's
it's a huge advantage for the Packers that I love.
It really is. All right, here's your daily forecast from AccuWeather.com. Saturday, high of 24, low of 15. Sunday, high of 25, low of 20. So it ain't going to be 9 degrees on Sunday.
All right, we'll see.
No precipitation on Saturday or Sunday. Saturday, winds becoming strong. Precipitation
66%. I'm watching every minute of that game. If I see flurries, I'm jumping his ass.
But flurries don't happen at 9. They happen at 30 and 20.
Look, Steven Uzak, I don't need you in Weather Central. I'm telling you, if you're telling me it ain't going to snow and it snows, if you tell me it ain't going to be 8 and it's 8 or it's in single digits, I'm coming at you.
Okay, sassy pants, I'm telling you is that I'm not telling you that. Weather.com and AccuWeather.com
is. Don't blame somebody else. You're telling me on the air right now.
I'm telling you from these websites that I'm using.
Drink some more wine.
AccuWeather.com says it's going to snow on Saturday.
Nick, what are you thinking?
I don't know what the weather's going to be like. I've heard different.
What is your trick?
Who you believe
say?
In, Nick?
Got that trick knee. It's like, it's going to rain this weekend.
I hate snow. I hate everything that has to do with the north side. I barely like the north side in Houston.
The north side.
Of the country.
Okay. So, I don't know what you guys are thinking about the game itself. I obviously, from a Green Bay perspective.
I think this is the closest of the two games.
Sure.
Or of the four games.
Yep.
I say that. I actually have the final score that I have 24-21.
Okay. Green Bay.
Yeah. 24-21 Green Bay, but I kind of have that same score for the Niners Vikings. So those two.
I'm gonna tell you this: don't sleep on Minnesota now. Minnesota is hot at the right time. I've always been the one to crap on Kirk Cousins, but he is the key to that entire. As long as Dalvin Cook's healthy, you saw what Dalvin Cook can do, and he outperformed Alvin Kamara last week, and he literally gave the team the balance they needed.
Thielen gonna be healthy?
Thielen is a weird deal.
They're gonna get Diggs involved early. Because offensively,
that's the key.
It's crazy as the Niners almost put up 30 points a game. And if you asked me to pick which offense I would take, I would probably take the Vikings offense because of the skill positions,
the weapons,
and what they have. But Niners averaged almost 5 points a game more than the Vikings this year.
Here's what's going to be interesting. Is it could come down to Jimmy Garoppolo and Kirk Cousins.
That's which is a weird matchup.
It really is. But at the same time, Garoppolo comes in with all the hype. But has he really been on the stage and been in a position to show
Cousins
that he
been
he
more
can
consistent
do it
down the stretch?
And Cousins had a big game last week. So, and look, and as much as
these two teams, I was just going to say,
much as the Niners get all the love for the defense with Richard Sherman in the front seven and Bosa, boy, I'll tell you what, don't mess with that Vikings defense if they're on their game. Their secondary's banged up, and that's going to hurt them. But overall, that front seven for the Minnesota Vikings is no joke.
Yep.
So it's gonna, if it comes down to the quarterbacks, it could get real interesting with those two guys.
Well, I mean, both teams giving up around 19 points a game on average for the year defensively. Niners are 19.4. Vikings were 19 even. So you're right. Offensively, you look at weapons. This might be who makes less mistakes between.
Sure, turnovers are going to be key.
Between the two quarterbacks.
Yeah, and running game, you know what you're getting in Dalvin Cook, but yep. Can he do it against that front seven? And on the flip side, can the revolving door of running backs they can throw at you with speed for the Niners be effective against the front seven of the Vikings?
Yeah.
That's going to be key, too. So we'll see. That's another good matchup. And then, of course, the one that's the most intriguing, and Titan Hugo, if you actually want to bet on this,
I'm not
an overall betting guy, but because you texted us earlier in the show and said, mark your words, 31-14 Titans, if you want to bet and give me 17 points and the Ravens, I'm all over it. I'm not going to bet my house, but I may. But I'll tell you this. It's going to be – that's one where the Titans have their work cut out for them. But stranger things have happened. If you talk about ball control, if the Titans can control the clock, minimize how much Lamar Jackson's on the field, and Derrick Henry can get going –
absolutely.
That is might have a ball game there,
dude,
too.
That is the entire – you could talk about turnovers and play, and this and that. If the Titans can't run the ball, if they can't keep Lamar Jackson off the field, that's a ball game. That is literally the key to this entire game. It comes down to one thing. Can the Titans run against the Ravens?
Yes.
That is the entire football game.
And they both like smash-mouth football, but the thing is, what makes Jackson so effective is having Mark Ingram and having another option.
And he's banged up.
And he's banged up. And with that hamstring, hamstrings are sensitive.
And Will Fuller.
That's going to be, exactly. So that's going to be a key injury. They've also got a couple of their linemen dinged up. And that changes the entire perspective of what they're able to do offensively. So there's a lot to keep an eye on in this game. And I love all four matchups being intriguing with everybody having a chance to win. That's a game where, not that I think Titan Hugo's right, and I'm obviously not going to say 31-14 Titans.
No way.
But I can see a scenario where that's a smash mouth close game and the Titans are in it.
I have a 27-21 Ravens.
I can see it being that close.
Yeah. I have a 27-21 Ravens because the Titans can score and they can run the ball. And it's going to be interesting to see. Now, when you look at points allowed, we were talking about the fact that Niners and the Vikings both given up 19. Ravens allowed the fewest points of any of these playoff teams per game. They're giving up 17 a game.
Their secondary
they're
is
stout.
Good. They added Marcus Peters, obviously with Earl Thomas in the back of the defense. That's huge.
Yeah.
Their D-line is really, really good.
Yeah.
So, their defense is going to be good. But the Titans' defense is good, too. So
Titans. Well, what's surprising, though, this surprised me, too, because I was looking at points allowed versus points scored. Dude, there are four teams in the playoffs that allowed around 19 a game. The Packers are one of them. The Niners and the Vikings we mentioned. You know what the fourth team is to allow 19 a game? The Chiefs.
Really?
That's surprising.
That shows you that their defense has come around.
And there's the three worst defenses in the playoffs. The Titans allowed 21 a game. The Texans allowed 24 a game. The worst defense in the playoffs is the Seahawks allowing 25 a game.
And that's rare because they've been playing good.
Surprising me. But the fact that Tennessee is getting up 21 a game more than the Chiefs surprised me. If you'd have just asked me that without looking at numbers, I wouldn't have guessed
that. Agree. And you know what in that Tennessee game? I think whoever passes the ball better between Jackson and Tannehill and doesn't throw picks.
It sounds strange to say it, but that's advantage Lamar Jackson. I think he's a better passer than Tannehill.
I don't know, man. I think Tannehill was the hottest quarterback down the stretch in the NFL. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out. But I think whoever throws less picks and completes more passes there, that's a huge advantage for teams that want to run the football.
Well, if the Titans can, if Derrick Henry can go off for 150 yards.
That's your magic number.
Yeah. I'm in the playoffs? Yeah, of course.
Derrick Henry and Carlos Hyde.
I said that for Hyde because of what he did against the Chiefs.
Long as Hyde gets over 100 yards, I think it's a huge bonus for the Texans.
Sure.
All right, we got 30 minutes to go on the show. We're going to put a half hour left when we come back, and we want you to be a part of it. 713-780-3776, HRNP listener line. Call, text, or hit us on Twitter. Back with more Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5.
This is Heisman Trophy winner and College Hall of Fame Billy Sims, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final half hour of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. Having a good old time on an F Yeah Friday, covering a lot of ground. You people are outstanding with your memories, especially when you know that the prize is right. The fact that you remembered when we were giving away the $100 gift card to Tribute on the grounds of the Houstonian for this unbelievable food. Phone lines are jammed right now. Good luck to you. Caller 25, whoever that may be. And we'll probably announce it on the air. But again, kudos and shout-outs to our man Steve.
Walt said, Nick calling the northern part of the country the north side was the most gangster thing I've heard all day.
Gangster. I like the way...
And H-Town Blue said, another great segment with the hotelier gents. Dude is amazing at his job. Bet he doesn't curse at guests when they tell him his hotel sucks. Because he makes sure it doesn't suck. Love that guy. F yeah Friday. That's from H-Town Blue.
Thank you, H-Town Blue and Steve.
Talking about Steve,
our hotel
guy.
Yeah. Thank you, Steve.
Congrats to John, by the way, for
the winner.
For winning.
Congrats, John.
I'm going to go, John. And you are not going to be disappointed.
Bro, you will not, I promise. By the way, Juan in Denver said, be careful with your bets, Joel. You called that the Browns would win the division 3 months before the season.
Okay, we already went over this. I don't remember from day to day the bets that you people think that we made that we never made. And why have we won? Why have we won? Did we get a Packer fan?
That we didn't make that you made that I made that you said that I made that we
didn't make? Well, you lost both your bets with me, but you were smart enough to never put anything on them.
I'll have you know that both divisions have the same amount of playoff representatives. Huh? Is that fact?
That is true. Yeah. That is true. Uh-huh. That's the only thing you got going for you. And that wasn't a part of either one of our bets. So,
no, that's true.
Boy.
Because I'm looking at, Chicago went 8-8. That was the big savior for you. Although Detroit at 3-12.
That was outstanding. That gave you a chance, is what that did.
Yeah, it did.
Jeez.
What was that? So there's 29 losses versus, never mind.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was going to try and stop you, just put the intro. But to delve deeper into this one, analytics guy, not in your best interest. Just letting you know.
AFC South has 32 losses. The NFC North had 29. Damn it.
Yeah.
Foiled again. Joel sounds like Booger McFarland.
Wow, why?
I think whoever completes more passes with less interceptions has the advantage.
Whoever passes better. We both know both teams are going to run.
Whoever scores more points
pulling a Clyde Drexler. I'm telling you, both teams are going to run the ball.
Whoever has more points when there's no time left on the clock in the fourth quarter is going to win the game. I'm going to go out on a limb.
I didn't do Clyde's keys to the game where he actually says whoever scores more points has an advantage.
Whoever has the most points, I feel like, has the advantage in this game.
Really? You sound like a lot of things just by a text message, and that's not good. So just move on with your day.
Who, me?
Whoever texted that.
Oh, yeah. Well, they're just poking fun.
Jeez.
They're just having a good time. Don't go all Bill O'Brien on us. Start telling them to bleep you. You suck too, buddy.
Yeah, but I'm not putting the two on it. Yeah. They just suck.
Will Joe call in sick if the Packers lose?
No. Good Lord, I've already told you all season long they're the worst three-loss team in the NFL this year.
You're going to tweet them so hard. So how do you normally tweet them versus...
I'm going to tweet you so hard when they lose. I'm just going to just go off.
That would be so you.
Yeah. I've never tweeted you during a Packers loss. I know that you're at home throwing things. Lisa has to take the kids
and
leave for everybody's protection.
Sure. Am I rooting for them to win? Yes. Am I going to be crushed if they lose?
You're going to be devastated.
No, I'm not, because I've been there, done that, especially against the Seahawks, where even when we win, we lose. Just go back to that stupid replacement ref game. Or a 16-point lead in the fourth quarter against the Seahawks in the NFC Championship game.
That's so Packers of you to blame the refs. This is just the whole segment of me trying to rile him up.
Let me just tell you something.
Look, Let me just tell you something, pal.
When you talk about... that stupid Seahawks game and the way things go with them when they blew that NFC Championship game. Now, there, I blew a gasket. That was painful. But having endured the losses that I've had to endure over the years, too, it's fine. You win, you lose.
As a Texans fan, former Oilers fan, lifelong Aggie fan, bro, losing is just part of my makeup.
And here's the thing. For all of you people last week in this town that
were all... I'm expecting losses. And not just... Ray, I'm talking fantastical. I'm talking blowing a 30-point lead kind of losses. I'm expecting that to happen. I'm talking getting blown out by the first quarter in this week.
You're talking Ravens game in the regular season.
Yeah. I'm talking about
the fact that when all the Houston people were up in arms because all week they had to hear about revenge for the Oilers game last week against
the
Bills.
Which was stupid, by the way.
It's not just because you're in Houston. because all week, all I've heard and all people back home are telling me is they revisited every freaking Packers Seahawks game and all that. And I'm just like, okay. And then there was one of the other matchups, and they were bringing, I was like, oh my. So they do this for everybody. It's just something that's going to continue to come up, and revenge about
stuff. Of course.
Stop it.
Of course. Which, and Bill O'Brien had the best point about that when they're going into that Bills game. That was a whole different team. That had nothing. No one on this team played in that Bills game. Why does that matter? It's the mystique, obviously, and, you know, you feel snake bit as a city, as a sports town.
Sure.
But if you're in that locker room, you don't look at that and go, oh, well, we're screwed. Earl Campbell let us down. Well, he wasn't on the team, but Warren Moon. No, was it Warren Moon?
Warren Moon was.
Was it him or was it Cody Carlson? What
you talking about in the Bills game?
Yeah, in the Bills collapse.
I don't think Warren Moon was quarterback at that time.
You don't think so? It wasn't Pastorini.
In the Bills collapse?
I think it was Warren Moon.
It might have been.
I'm almost positive it was Warren Moon.
I that's what I thought, but I don't remember. Hell,
let's revisit it.
You know what's sad is
let's revisit it.
I am. You know what's sad is you go to Wikipedia to find it, and it's just called the comeback.
Sure.
I
know Frank Reich was their guy.
There's a whole thing on Wikipedia just called the comeback, and yes, it was Warren Moon. So that's what I thought, but I wasn't. I don't know. I barely remember that.
How old were you?
What year was it?
I was 9. 93.
Okay. Yeah, I was a year out of high school.
Oh, my God. You were fired up then. You should have been.
I don't remember 2 weeks ago. Are you kidding me? I know the 35-3 collapse, but I don't remember, you know, the specifics of the game. I don't remember those games. That's what amazes me about guys that can remember. Oh, yeah, in that game, Curly Culp did an end. Like, what? How do you remember those specifics? I have no idea. I just remember how bad it was. Boy, I remember
again,
how
again, when you
sad,
get into how affected how you are as a I fan, felt. That's how much you remember.
Yeah, I just remember Jack Pardee was the coach. Marv Levy was the Bills coach. Oilers were 10-6 going in the game. Bills were 11-5. But the Oilers were supposed to be the new ringy-dingy there. And that just didn't happen. Lorenzo White was the running back
from Michigan State.
Yep.
No doubt about it. That was a good
times.
There were some talented Oilers teams back in the day, and watching from afar, I just knew between I was always a Billy White Juice Johnson fan.
Oh, I loved him. With the dance in the end zone.
Yeah, exactly.
That's what made it great.
And the running back, the kicks, and then you had Haywood Jeffries, and you had Ernest Givens, and you had the good offensive lines, and. Man, those Oilers teams were loaded.
Oilers had a lot of talent. Just snake bit. I'm telling you, this city felt snake bit. And it was probably all because Bud Adams was a bum. So, yeah, rest in peace, Bud Adams. But, yeah, he was a bum. He was a garbage owner. So, I don't know.
I don't know either. But, well, you know, I'm telling you right now, one thing I do know.
What do you know?
Is the Rockets lost last night.
Yes.
And so they're coming home. And they're going to have some big games coming up, including January the 15th at Toyota Center. It's going to be the Rockets, and it's going to be the Portland Trail Blazers. And they've got a great deal for you. Starting as low as $29, you can get a ticket to the game. You can get your choice of a beer or soda. You can get a hot dog, and you can get a Rockets bottle opener, all for the game on the 15th against the Blazers. You know it's a good opponent. It's a Western Conference opponent. It's the Blazers. It's Damon Lillard. It's Carmelo Anthony and his return to Toyota Center, and that's going to be a fiery, interesting scenario to see play out as well. And on top of it, if you can get a ticket for just $29, all you got to do is go to Rockets.com. Rockets.com, already your one-stop shop for everything Houston Rockets. But when you get on the front page of Rockets.com, you're going to find out in a hurry that they're featuring this guy's night out. So grab your buddies, grab your relatives, grab your friends, and head on down to Toyota Center, because just for $29, a low, low price for a ticket, you get more than just a ticket. You get food, beverage, a bottle opener, and a great matchup. It's a fantastic deal, and it's all for your taking right now. Rockets.com. Check it out. Blazers, Rockets, January the 15th, Toyota Center. Get that guy's night out package. You're going to be glad you did.
Here's Joel Blank and Barry Laminack with Nick Sciarra.
Final segment of the show, Usual Suspects, ESPN 97.5. A lot of people mad at John.
For winning the Houstonian thing?
John won the $100 gift certificate for dinner at Tribute. And a lot of people, including Clarence, not happy about it.
Yeah.
That's the competitive nature of our suspects. I like that.
I like it.
That's outstanding. All right, so real quick,
we were talking about the Packers Seahawks and all the drama, and somebody had a good point on the text line. Packers do have one on the Seahawks. They have one. When Hasselbeck won the toss,
oh yeah,
in overtime, and he says, "We want the ball." and we're going to score. Then he throws a pick six back.
Al Harris. Yeah. Loved every minute of that.
So there you go. Don't act like it's all.
Oh, shut the hell up. If you want to take that as opposed to the NFC Championship game and some of those things, please. You know what? I've lived, just like you've lived through your Houston hells.
Yes.
Those are the hells that I've lived. Just leave me alone.
Are you saying that
I'm not comparing them, Barry?
I was going to say, don't even start with me about Packer hell versus Oiler Texans hell. There's just no comparison.
You would
whatsoever.
Lose that argument.
You would totally lose that argument.
I know, because we win.
Exactly.
And we've won.
Exactly.
And we continue to win.
Okay, shut up.
Oh, I'm just going to.
Are you keeping up with the? I know we're going to do our NFL picks before
we get
out. Yeah,
that's where I was going to go.
Is that what you're going to do? But yeah. I want to do this real quick.
Okay.
Are you? Because I know you watch Wheel of Fortune.
Yeah.
Do you watch Jeopardy?
Okay, so I watch Jeopardy. I know the big deal's going on with the tournament of champions.
I watched the first one, and I was like, these dorks.
Did you realize that it goes until one of the three guys wins, what, three?
Right.
So the dorkiest of the dorks has gotten two wins. Ken, what's his name?
Jennings.
Ken Jennings.
Yeah, he had 51,200 points after game one. Holzhauer had 27,200 and Rutter?
I think it's Rutter.
Dork number three had 17,600. Game two, Ken Jennings won again, 67,600. Holzhauer, 33,692. And Rutter, dork number three, 23,000.
Do you know dork number three, by the way, had some dork job, and then after Jeopardy, became a producer and actor in Hollywood, in which he's still actively getting jobs?
Really?
I guess it changed his life.
I guess so. They're all smart.
Yes.
And I was watching the first one on whenever it started. Did it start Monday? I don't know when it started. I don't know, whatever it was.
They're dragging it out. They did the first one, they did a whole long one-on-one interview with Michael Strahan and Alex Trebek and his wife.
They?
And they showed what Alex does in home improvements in his spare time.
So, no, it wasn't Monday because I didn't go straight home, but it was either Tuesday or Wednesday. It had to have been Tuesday. Hell, I don't know. Whatever the first one was, I watched it, and I was surprised how many answers I was getting. I was like, okay, I'm as smart as these guys. I'm just killing it over here. But they weren't that hard. Like it was
Did you
like
bruise yourself?
80s, pat myself on the back. It was like 80s questions and stuff like that. I'm like, it good for them for being able to do pop culture questions. But I didn't know if you were really into that or not. Have you been watching it at all or keeping up with it?
Well, Lisa and I'll watch it when it's on like its regular time.
Right.
But prime time, there's been a lot of big sports on lately and good games lately. I'm not keeping up with all that. I did, however, like I said, I watched the one-on-one with Alex Trebek and Michael Strahan.
Okay.
And then Trebek's wife, simply because he's gone through so much and he's trying to beat cancer. And everybody's on his side and they love him so much. And dude is just living his life. I mean, he's out there, like I said, he's out there cleaning his gutters. And Michael Strahan's going, next time you need it done, Alex, I'll do it for you. And he's like, no. I like to do the things around my house. And he's like very into like home improvements and all this other stuff. But he's very realistic about the diagnosis and what he's dealing with. And he continues to say, look, I've lived such a great life. How can I be upset about what I'm dealing with? It's an amazing point of view for what he's got going.
Christina said, don't you mean virgin one, virgin two, and virgin three? Ouch. It's not very nice.
I think householder, or whatever his name
Holzhauser
is.
Holzhauser. Whatever.
He's a big gambler in Vegas, makes his money off of wagering. And I believe he's got a family.
Okay.
He seems like the most sane and stable of the three of them.
Does he?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I
don't know. Ken Jennings.
Dork number three went from Dorksville to like Hollywood producer, actor, just killing life.
All right.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So I just had to get out of that way. Now we can do picks.
All right. So you pick the game we start with, and we'll give you who we think.
We'll save Texans Chiefs game for last. Let's start with your beloved Packers Seahawks game.
I honestly believe Packers are going to win the game because of the fact that when these two teams meet. In almost every time, the home team wins. So, therefore, I'm going to take the home team at home. I don't care about the spread.
Well, this whole 13-3, worst three-loss team.
But I'm taking them at home. I don't think they're going to the Super Bowl, but I think they'll win this game.
Okay.
Which game are we talking about now?
Packers-Seahawks.
Okay, cool.
I'm with you. We talked about what the Seahawks defense and the deficiencies that they've had. Now they've given up more points per game than anybody that's left in the playoffs right now. I think that's an issue, especially when you're on the road. Don't discount that Lambeau Field factor and the weather, whatever it ends up being. We argued about it and talked about it, but whatever. I think just the fact that you have to go to Lambeau on the road in the playoffs in the winter, That's bad enough as it is. And I know Seattle's a cold weather team, so to speak, but it's a different kind of cold. It's a different kind of weather situation.
He's a different kind of quarterback in that weather, too.
And it's not, yeah. So I think it's going to be a close game. I figured 24-21 Packers win.
Nick?
I think the Packers are going to win, too. I think there's some room to make the argument that there's some lack of playoff experience on this Packers team. Matt LaFleur is obviously this is his first playoff game as a head coach. I think that's a big deal. But there's so much advantages that come with Green Bay, especially with Aaron Rodgers at quarterback and the Lambeau Field discussion that we had. And we talked about when I was filling in for Joel that Patrick Mahomes may have had a down year, but he still had a good year. I still feel the same way about Aaron Rodgers. He may have had a down year, but he had a good year. And you still have Aaron Rodgers, and that's why I'm picking the Packers.
Now, in that game, the spread is 4.5. Who are you taking against the spread? You going to take the Seahawks and the 4.5 points to cover?
I honestly think that I would if I'm just my gut feeling. But the big key to me is what Nick just said. Rodgers hasn't been great all year, but in the playoffs, he's always been really good. And the fact that 12 has room for improvement, and yet
so you think Packers win by more than 4.5?
I do.
You think they win by more than 4.5?
Yep, I do. I'll change my mind.
So you're going to give the points?
Yep.
I think Packers cover too, man.
Oh, so you're going to give the points too? I'll take that 4.5.
All day.
Yeah.
Next game.
I'll take the 4.5. All right. Cool. So Niners, Vikings, spread is 7. Niners obviously favored.
Vikings cover the spread. Niners win the game. At home, they're going to be in a more comfortable situation. Vikings have had a short week. Kirk Cousins had one good game. But I just think with all the weapons, the defense of the Niners, and playing at home, I'll give the Niners the advantage to win the game.
I love the 7 points in the Vikings.
Okay. I believe the Vikings will cover that, too.
Yeah, I think this is probably a 24-22, 24-21 game, something like that. But I do think the Niners win. But when it comes to the 7, I'd take that all day with that Vikings defense. And I get it. The San Francisco, these are two good defenses. We talked about it earlier. This come down to quarterback play and between the two, because you don't really know what you're going to get from either of these guys. Garoppolo has been, I feel like he's been not underrated, but people keep expecting him to fall off and cause this team to
be
bad.
But he's untested in this environment, though. He's still untested in this environment till he's proven he can do it.
Okay.
So we'll see. Nick, who you got?
Look, I think if you're Kirk Cousins, you have a lot of confidence coming off that game-winning touchdown to Kyle Rudolph, and I think that does wonders. But I do tend to agree with Barry. The Houston Texans is the most, in terms of uncertainty, I would pick the Houston Texans. I think the Vikings is a close number two, and because of that, I'm not picking the Vikings to win this game. I think the 49ers defense is really, really good, and I think Jimmy Garoppolo, this is the time. He's proven that he's good enough to be in the NFL. He still needs to prove more. I think this is the game that he does that. So I'm picking the 49ers to not only win, but I also pick them to cover.
All right. You think they cover the 7?
Yeah.
Oh, wow. Okay. Ravens, Titans, and the spread on that is 9.5, and I think that's it opened at 9, but it's at 9.5 now. Just straight up, who you got?
I just think the Ravens win the football game.
I'm with you. I think the Ravens are the better football team. I think they're more dominant in all aspects of the game. Mark Ingram is the key to that Ravens
very much
offense.
So.
And they better hope he's healthy enough. He can still win, and I don't think that they lose if Mark Ingram is limited. But it certainly does affect the
outcome.
Puts
a lot more pressure on the legs of Lamar Jackson.
It certainly does, and his arm. If you can't run the ball, you're going to have to figure it out. Now, you might see a lot more designed runs with Lamar Jackson with Mark Ingram banged up. But I have it. I predicted 27-21. Spread's 9.5, so I think I'll take the points. I'll take the Titans and the points, but I think the Ravens win. I think they're just the better football team. But would it surprise you if the Titans won this game?
Not as much as most. I think the Titans have a shot.
I know a lot of
people. It would surprise me if they won it outright, but I think they got a shot. They're going to make it a closer game than people think.
People want to say, oh, it's not going to surprise me. The Titans are good, and everyone, it's going to surprise me if the Titans win this football game.
Because that's the favorite to win it all. The Ravens aren't just the favorite to win this week. They are the favorite of all teams
to win
it all. And
the Titans are so one-dimensional. That's what also would surprise me about it.
I think Lamar Jackson is going to do what he's been doing all year, and he's been running the football well. There's no indication to me that tells me he's not going to run the football well, and because of that, I'm picking the Baltimore Ravens. If he runs the football well, I don't see the Tennessee Titans winning this game, even with a huge game by Derrick Henry.
All right, last one. Chiefs-Texans. Spread still 9.5. What you got?
I just think at the end of the day, with all the pieces being considered, the Chiefs have more pieces. And so, therefore, I think that the Chiefs win the game. I think it's closer than the 80% chance for the Chiefs to win the game. You have Deshaun Watson, you got a shot. You keep him upright, and if Will Fuller plays, and again, if they can run the football, they can be in this football game. But at the end of the day, I think the Chiefs win. I think the Chiefs win by, I don't think they win by 10. I think they win by a touchdown, but I think the Chiefs win the game.
So my spreadsheet says 26-21. It says to take the points, to take the Texans and the 9.5 points, that they'll cover that. And everything that I see, everything that I know about these two teams tells me to take the Chiefs. But if J.J. Watt is healthy and plays well, if Will Fuller is in the game and manages to stay in the game the whole time, if Carlos Hyde can run the football, man, there's the realist in me, the Texans fan in me, the realist that says they're going to blow this some fantastical way. I just have this weird feeling in my gut that the Texans win this game.
Wow. Okay.
Nothing wrong with that.
My head is saying Chiefs.
Sarah Barshop's online.
My head is saying Chiefs, but there's just something in me that's saying, man, the Texans might actually win this football game.
Well, I hope you're right.
I will say that if you have Deshaun Watson on the field, you have a chance to win this game. And I think that's the big difference for me. That's the reason why I'm picking the Chiefs to win this game is I feel like if you take Deshaun Watson out of the equation, there's no way the Texans win this game. You take Patrick Mahomes out of the equation, I still think you have a decent team, an average football team. I think you have more consistent weapons to work with. And that's why I feel like the Kansas City Chiefs is going to take this. They're going to end the Texans season tomorrow, I really believe.
You think the Texans...
Sunday.
You think Sunday, the 9.5 is too much to give?
No, I'll say the Texans cover.
Okay.
But I still think the Chiefs will win.
All right, there you go. That does it for a great week here on The Usual Suspects, and we appreciate it because without you, we don't have that kind of week, and we don't do it Monday through Friday, 1 to 4 p.m. right here on ESPN. For Nick and Barry, I'm Joel. Have a great weekend, everybody. Stay tuned. The Blitz is next right here on ESPN 97.5.